the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, January the 10th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Use it or lose it, the U.S. Supreme Court takes up Ohio's voter purge. Also on today's rundown, Latino leaders in Arizona slam Arpaio's run for the Senate. And some bad and good news about what is happening behind bars in the nation's prisons. Topping our news, President Trump Tuesday appeared open to negotiating a sweeping immigration deal. The New York Times reports it would eventually grant millions of undocumented immigrants a pathway to citizenship. Trump said he was willing to take the heat politically. The Times says those remarks came during an extended meeting with congressional Republicans and Democrats who are weighing a shorter-term agreement that would extend legal status for undocumented immigrants brought to the United States when they were children. Ohio's use-it-or-lose-it method of maintaining its voter rolls will be debated before the U.S. Supreme Court today. Mary Sherman has a preview.
The High Court will hear arguments in Husted versus A. Philip Randolph Institute, an appeal of a lower court ruling that found Ohio violated federal law by purging voters from the rolls because of inactivity. Oak Harbor Mayor and U.S. Army Sergeant Joseph Healy says he returned home from tours in Iraq and Afghanistan to discover he was not allowed to cast a ballot.
I was sitting there in the Board of Elections office crying, and it's not like me to flaunt my military service by any means, but to be a veteran, go serve my country for so long, to come home and be told that I cannot exercise one of the fundamental rights that I went and defended is ridiculous.
Ohio voters who do not cast a ballot for 2 years are sent a mailer asking if they wish to remain registered. If there is no response and if they do not vote for another 4 years, they are stricken from the rolls. It's estimated that happened to about 1.2 million Ohio voters between 2011 and 2016. Secretary of State John Husted will be on hand today for arguments and says the decades-old practice is essential to preserving election integrity.
The Supreme Court expected to rule on the case in the next few months. Groups that fought to kick Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio out of office are now mobilizing to defeat him in his bid this November for the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Jeff Flake.
The 85-year-old Arpaio lost his job of 24 years in November of 2016 and was found guilty of criminal contempt for defying orders for his deputies to stop racially profiling Latinos. Carlos Garcia with the Puente Human Rights Movement has helped lead the charge against Arpaio for years.
Sheriff Arpaio's policies were bigoted. The intention was to destroy our community, to separate our families, to humiliate and dehumanize undocumented people. He has traumatized an entire generation.
Arpaio was facing 6 months in jail before President Donald Trump pardoned him last fall. Arpaio is notorious for running an outdoor jail known as Tent City. In his announcement, he said he's disappointed with the way the Senate has treated Trump and wants to bring new blood into the chamber. I'm Suzanne Potter.
And now to those stories about incarceration. Missouri is confronting a number of troubling trends in its criminal justice system, including an uptick in violent crime and crowded prisons. Tramell Gomes reports research shows women are at the epicenter.
The researchers asked to study Missouri's incarceration problem are warning that the prison system is in a make-or-break moment. The Council of State Governments Justice Center is asking the state to invest $189 million to treat offenders in the community for behavioral health problems or risk paying $485 million to build new prisons. Research Director Andy Barbie says that's because there's not enough behavioral support outside the prison walls.
It's not only that it's being delivered in the prison setting, it's only being delivered there. There's so little of it in a community setting. So the state really is shooting itself in the foot. But you see this particularly pronounced within that female population.
Barbie says lack of treatment is creating a revolving door for offenders, and the majority are women being arrested for low-level offenses. Missouri's prison system is running at 105% of capacity.
And finally, Stephanie Carson reports on a positive trend that's happening behind bars. More than 20 male prisoners in the state of Tennessee celebrating the completion of associate degrees they earned while paying their debt to society.
It's the first such group to receive the honor in more than 20 years. The inmates will graduate today at the Turney Center Industrial Complex as part of a program with Nashville State Community College that's coordinated by the Tennessee Higher Education Initiative. Executive Director Molly Lasagna says education is one way to give people a place to start, once they are released.
Our mission at the Tennessee Higher Education Initiative is really to think about the way that higher education opportunities, college opportunity, prepares folks to go back to their communities and experience success.
THEI currently has 140 students enrolled at two prison facilities, the other being in the Memphis area at Northwest Correctional Complex in partnership with Dyersburg State Community College. The program is funded through a mix of public and private dollars. The program has been in existence since 2012, and Lasagna says their recidivism rate is 4%, compared with the state average of more than 40%.
According to the Institute for Higher Education Policy, the recidivism rate for incarcerated people who participated in the program were on average 46% lower than the rates of inmates who did not take college classes. That is our news for now. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.